I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road. And along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, down to Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oskaloosa, Tennessee, Tennessee, Chicopee, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake, Devil's Lake, Crater Lake, Beach Lake. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, thank you so much, Audrey. Again, each week we're grateful to you. We couldn't get on the air without you. We had a few technical problems tonight that there's no sense talking about, since it turned out okay, but you always rescue us with those when those kind of issues come up. Folks, welcome to Blog Talk Radio and the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm your host, Keith Haley. We want to thank Johnny Cash again. Keep on trucking up there, Johnny. Someday some folks will be with you, but he manages to get through every week without one mistake, those 90 cities and towns in the lyrics of that song. It's an incredible memory feat, and I suspect there are few people in the nation that can actually do that without looking at the lyrics. Emily and Mike, thank you for joining us tonight. I know Audrey and Mike, you're going to be commenting a little bit tonight on an immigration story early during the show, and we thank you for that, and I think you have a fine piece to talk about, one that I'll comment on after you've got us into that particular story. special opening comments tonight, pretty simple. I hope you had a chance to hear Karen Munch last week, who's the coordinator of law enforcement training for the Watercraft Division of the Hyatt Department of Natural Resources. I thought she just presented a fabulous description of what watercraft officers do and appealed to the kind of courage they need to have to get involved in that type of work. And if there's ever a job in law enforcement that requires some need for some physical skill and agility, it certainly seems like the watercraft officer would be one of those for the state of Ohio. They're very well respected nationwide. I can tell you that from a former life when I had a lot of contact with state law enforcement directors all over the United States. ODNR here in Ohio is an excellent organization. And, of course, one of her points for coming on the show is they're looking for recruits right now. So if you'll go to the Ohio Department of Natural Resources website, you don't need addresses anymore. You can just Google it, and it pops right up. And go to the Watercraft Division, and you'll see lots of recruiting information on there and details about qualifications for the job, et cetera. Tonight, Audrey sometimes mentions that you need to listen closely because you may be asking questions later. Tonight could be it. We may have an exam. Our guest for tonight was not able to appear. Something came up here two or three days ago. That was Jim Furniason. He's the director of the Hyatt Minuteman Civil Defense Corps project, and he'll be back on in June. But tonight I'm still going to deal with the issue of immigration, since our Senate and our Congress actually begins to take up debate on this particular issue next week. And there's just so much available about it. It's such a complicated subject, but it has such crucial importance to what happens to us in the next 10, 20, 30 years and beyond, that I thought I would take some time to try to make sense of this, and particularly talk about this particular piece of legislation, this compromise legislation that was just squeezed out of the U.S. Senate, that both the president and many people are trying to get us to adopt. It's created a fear all over the United States. Neither Republicans or Democrats, independents, and others are pleased with this particular piece of legislation, but they feel like they have to do something to pass this. So anyway, that'll be our subject for the entire show tonight. And what I'm going to do is take you down the path of some of these studies and let you look at some of the figures and details about this particular bill. And I think when you hear what's really buried in this more than 450-page bill, I've had a chance to look at some of it, but I've also used some summaries from people that I respect in order to gain my knowledge about it. I think you'll be very surprised that we're actually trying to pass this, when in fact, at best, or at worst, we ought to be at least stalling on this until something better can come out. The purpose of our show is the same as it is every week. We like to discuss the news, the issues and events and developments, and the always difficult and sometimes humorous practice of criminal justice. Our show is always dedicated to those tireless police courts, corrections, and juvenile justice professionals who protect us throughout the United States and around the world. And of course, sometimes that protection requires them to give their ultimate, and we just had a graduate of our university lose his life in Cleveland Heights, Jason West, and we certainly pass on our sympathies to his family, and we wish the best for them. What we try to do in the show is what nobody else does. We try to look inside criminal justice and look at its professionals and their particular practice. Last week was a pretty good example of that purpose of the show in operation by looking at the Watercraft Division. And throughout the life of the show, however long that may go, we'll be trying to do the same thing, bringing to you professionals that are real experts. And we've already confirmed somebody who's an expert on the taser. The taser continues to be, in many circles, a controversial device in law enforcement, but we're going to take a look at that hopefully in 2 weeks. The magic of Blog Talk Radio, we need to talk about that. I might say, I mentioned last week that Blog Talk Radio is making a major upgrade in July. They now have over 1,500 radio shows, radio and hosts, and there are literally dozens and dozens and dozens of shows a day. So they're upgrading the technology, and one of the changes that will take place is that you will no longer need a telephone to call into the show. And that's going to help us in our particular show, particularly because we'll be able to contact people from other nations, and they'll be able to call in at no charge to them. Every now and then we have a caller from outside the United States, and one of the things we're going to do down the road is get together some of our folks that were involved in a justice project in Romania, and get them together with some Romanians. And that will work in order because of this new feature. They won't have to use their telephones to get on the radio show. But anyway, they said that when you book your next shows, they will let you know whether you have enough listeners in order to be booked at prime time. And prime time is any show that's between 8 and 11 o'clock. And lo and behold, I booked 3 new shows the day before yesterday, and we were able to do it. So I guess when you have one goldfish and two neighborhood dogs and a stray cat and 3 neighbors that listen to your show, then that's enough to be booked in prime time. So I was very glad to see that. If it comes up that we have to move the show to a later time or an earlier time, that would be fine, too. I certainly thought of some times actually might be more opportune. But anyway, Blog Talk Radio is the genius of Alan Levy, And he has his own show, if you'll go look at the Blog Talk Radio site. And he's the genius behind the media. And like I said, they're up now to 1,500 different show hosts. And when you look on their website, you'll recognize some of those names. They're indeed famous people, celebrities, and personalities, and corporate executives who have their own radio show. But here's what's possible if you're new to listening. Any person, any interest group, any organization can have their own show broadcasting live, I said live, and streaming audio over the Internet worldwide to an unlimited number of listeners. And it's absolutely free. You can sign up and be ready to run a show literally within a half hour. I suspect as the political season embarks more upon us that you're going to see a lot of the politicians using this particular Blog Talk Radio. In fact, you can see it. If you go to some of the political shows now, which is the most popular genre, at least it has the most shows, you'll see some of the politicians that are actually running for office have actually been on those shows already. The shows are archived immediately after the completion of a broadcast, and you can download those or save them and take them with you and listen later. Or you can come back to the website, and when you come back to the website, for example, Jumble Justice, our show, it starts to play automatically when you load up and go to that particular site. So what I'm trying to say is that there are lots of people that could get lots of benefit, more so than I would as an individual, where they could, in fact, broadcast their message and their information around the United States and around the world. So I'm surprised a lot of police departments haven't done this in terms of community relations shows and prison systems, et cetera. Universities particularly, used to be expensive for them to run university radio shows, but they could actually do that. We're still okay for prime time, man, and that's important. Next week, I spoke with the gentleman today, and he continues to refresh and involve himself in new things throughout his academic career. So I thought it would be interesting to have Dr. Michael Palmiotto back from Wichita State University. And he just returned from Bosnia and Serbia. And he was over there and he lectured in four different university locations. And of course, he knew a lot about that particular area before he went. And certainly he knows more when he came back. And I'm sure he'll be doing some writing. And as you recall, he's the editor for the new International Journal on Security and Terrorism, an incredible four-volume, I think it's a four-volume set. It'll have more than 700, 800 articles on it. And he's still looking for authors, by the way. And I owe him a couple of articles that I think I can get out here in pretty quick fashion. And then the week after that, I think, is we'll probably have the show on the Taser. I'm really looking forward to that because I've always been sort of a devotee to trying to understand technology in all fields, and the Taser is quite a device that's come along here, and it's a technology that the police are still wrestling with in terms of how exactly they want to use it. And I think I mentioned last week that British police have just deployed Tasers in an experimental fashion. I don't think the experiment's going to last long across their nation. Of course, the British police do their patrol unarmed, so now at least they'll be armed with a Taser. And I think almost everyone has seen them in operation, and they are debilitating. Well, let's take a little bit look at the news tonight, and see what's going on there. And in the world of crazy news, Anna Nova is my favorite site for that. And I wish she would come back as the virtual newscaster. They say she's still being refurbished. And if you've never had a chance to see Anna Nova years ago, it's at Anna Nova. ANANOVA.com. It was quite a device. She never missed a day of work, and she was brilliant. She had outstanding pronunciation for everything, and she's off the air for a while, but we hope she comes back. But anyway, on her site, I saw tonight a story about a robber in Milwaukee who actually took the time to ask one of the victims of the robbery for a date. Can you imagine that? These two guys come in and rob a U-Haul store, and when they're all done, one of these guys sticks around, and the manager said he was trying to get the female employee's phone number. This is from manager Patrick Sobosinski. She said that he was just saying, "Hey, baby, you're pretty fine," And then the two robbers accosted the two employees. They forced them to open up the till. And one of them grabbed the money, forced the workers to the ground, and then they fled. But the second man stayed at the counter and asked the woman for a date. She said he was saying, "Can I get your number, and then we could go out sometime?" The man laughed after the woman told him that she wasn't interested in seeing him again, I can imagine. Local police are very much interested in seeing him, as you can imagine, but in the world of strange crime, that certainly is one of those. Now, I want to be understood about this next news story because, you know, we're going to have green police. We're probably going to have food police, and it looks like New Jersey is one step closer to that. But have you heard, this is out of Philly.com, that the state of New Jersey now has an agency, state agency that's created to battle fat. I'm not kidding you. It says New Jersey's health department is escalating the battle against the bulge by starting an Office of Nutrition and Fitness to better coordinate programs aimed at preventing obesity. Jersey may be the first state, I'm sure they are. They said that the Garden State, New Jersey, has the highest percentage of overweight and obese children under age 5, 17.7%, according to a survey. New Jersey also has many black and Latino youths who are more likely to be overweight than white youngsters. Now, first of all, how do they know that? That's a complicated issue, but anyway, that's what they're doing. But what they want to do is target this weight gain business and try to nip it in the bud, and so they're banning certain foods at schools, and they have a nice picture here about some carrots and looks like some lettuce and some sprouts and that kind of thing, and you know, supposedly that's going to be more attractive to our young people than a cheeseburger, but they're actually saying that they want to do this and put the parents and the children on notice about being fat, but they don't want to create a stigma for the child. And so one of the things they're thinking about doing is putting a fat grade on your report card every 6 weeks or however often it comes back to you. So you'll get a little card on, you know, how you're doing on weight control. They say that there's no other agency doing this, and this is something that they think they can do. And if they can get federal grants, did you hear that, federal grants, that's your and my money, they should be able to be successful to keep the weight down among those people. I don't know if they've ever checked Amazon.com, but there's only about 14 million diet books on there. Actually, I have one. they could actually go on there and take a look at those diet books, and maybe they wouldn't need to create a state agency. They could read a book a week or a month or something like that. But anyway, they're interested in doing this, and of course, you know, death from smoking is number one, and death from obesity is number two. Sometimes those are tricky how they figure that out, but anyway, it's sort of interesting. But in New Jersey, 23% of the residents are considered obese, and then an additional 37% are overweight. Oh, where's Twiggy when you need her? Because she could come back and help us understand all this. I think the secret was for her was not eating. But they are counting on these federal grants, and of course, a professor at Rutgers, she says that with the right person in charge, if you hear that, the right person in charge, that this could be a very successful program. It may be that she's candidating for that particular job. So anyway, that's what New Jersey is doing, and of course, anytime you have regulations, then you need somebody to enforce that, so we're probably not too far off from the issue of the fat police. I wanted to mention here what's going on in Columbus, since I've had a fascination with this subject for a long time, and that's the idea of cameras. We have, I think, a couple people online here. I'm going to bring them on with me, if you don't mind, and maybe they want to comment on these camera stories or anything else we've done on the news, but certainly I know they will on immigration. So hold on just a minute, folks, and we'll try that famous line on Blog Talk Radio, "Can you hear me?" Can you hear me, sir? Ma'am? Hello?
Can I hear you?
859. Is this, who is this?
859. That's Jack Collins.
Jack Collins, calling from Kentucky?
Yes, I am, sir.
the Commonwealth of Kentucky. I tell you, I love that state. You know that, and somebody rigged the deal once here a couple years ago. And are you sitting down, sir?
I am.
Okay. I was actually commissioned by Governor Ernie Fletcher to be a Kentucky colonel. Can you believe that?
That's hard to believe, Mr. Haley.
It really isn't. And I'm still trying to figure out why, but I'm sure it was my contribution to something.
Well, your contribution to law enforcement, especially law enforcement education. And by the way, Hughes is the new commander at OPATA.
Who is?
Hughes.
Norman?
I can't think of his first name. He was the chief at Forest Park.
Oh, okay, sure. Well, how about that? Well, congratulations to him. I'll have to send him a little note.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do that. I have another caller here. Can I bring him on, sir? Can you hold on?
Sure.
Okay. Hello, this is Blog Talk Radio. Your host, Keith Haley. Who is this?
Hello, this is Rick Geyer from Fremont, Ohio.
Rick Geyer from Fremont, Ohio.
Is this Colonel Sanders?
Yes, it is.
Is he employed or unemployed? I don't know if he should be on here.
That may be the reason I was given that Kentucky Colonel Award.
Listen, Mr. Haley, are we talking about illegal aliens tonight?
We certainly are. I'm going to do one more news story, if you don't mind, and then we'll get into it. Audrey and Mike have a little story for us, a great piece that was written by Patrick McCannon. It's called The Path to Suicide. Have you read that one?
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's an excellent piece, and we'll use it. In fact, let's go to that right now. If you got time to listen to this, Audrey, put that coffee cup down. Oh, thank you very much for fixing that. She does not mind fixing coffee for us, and she wants to do this blonde joke. Do you want to get that out of the way first, gentlemen? Would you mind?
The blonde joke or the story?
The blonde. Would you want to do that?
Yeah.
Do it.
Let's get that out of the way. And I don't mean get it out of the way because she works very hard on them. I try to point out every week that Audrey is a blonde, so... You can't take this to heart in terms of being offensive, but we're not. She loves these jokes. Let's see what she has to say on this.
Professor Haley, this is a brief joke tonight. See if you like it. It is about a blonde trying to lost weight. A blonde is overweight, so her doctor puts her on a diet. I want you to eat regularly for 2 days, then skip a day, and repeat the procedure for 2 weeks. The next time I see you, you'll have lost at least 5 pounds. When the blonde returns, she's lost nearly 20 pounds. Why, that's amazing, the doctor says. Did you follow my instructions? The blonde nods. I'll tell you, though, I thought I was going to drop dead that third day. From hunger, you mean, said the doctor. No, from skipping, replied the blonde.
Skipping, get it? Skipping?
Yeah, yeah.
Some of our listeners are applauding there. Well, thank you very much, Audrey. I like that when she digs into the well of the internet somewhere and comes up with all these particular blonde jokes. Well, let's get into the very serious topic tonight then of illegal immigration. And I think a good place to start is to take a look at this article that was written by Pat Buchanan, and it's called The Path to Suicide. And I'm commenting more tonight about his book, State of Emergency. In fact, I'll particularly talk about his last chapter. But this is a real succinct piece about kind of what's going on here in the United States. So, folks, let's take a listen to that, and I'd be interested in your comments.
Path to National Suicide by Patrick J. Buchanan. At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reaches us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of freemen, we must live through time, or die by suicide. So said Abe Lincoln to the Young Men's Lyceum in Springfield. observing the Senate last week, and looking over the latest figures from the Census Bureau, America is now risking national suicide. Last week, senators meeting in secret produced a bill to legalize our 12 million to 20 million illegal aliens. If a path to citizenship becomes law, nothing will stop the next invasion. As President Bush acknowledges, 6 million tried to breach our southern border in his first 5 years. 1 in 12, 500,000, had a criminal record. According to the Census Bureau, from mid-2005 to mid-2006, the U.S. minority population rose to 0.4 million, to exceed 100 million. Hispanics, 1% of the population in 1950, are now 14.4%. Their total number has soared 25% since 2000 alone. The Asian population has also grown by 25% since 2000. The number of white kids of school age fell 4%, however. Half the children 5 and younger in the United States are now minorities. What is happening to us? An immigrant invasion of the United States from the Third World, as America's white majority is no longer even reproducing itself. Since Roe v. Wade, America has aborted 45 million of her children. And Asia, Africa, and Latin America have sent 45 million of their children to inherit the estate the aborted American children never saw. God is not mocked. And white America is in flight. In the 1990s, for the first time since the Spanish came, whites left California. 2 million departed. From July 1, 2005, to July 1, 2006, 100,000 more packed up and headed back once their fathers came. The Anglo population of the Golden State is down to 43% and falling fast. White folks are now a minority in Texas and New Mexico. In Arizona, Hispanics account for over half the population under 20.
The future is not in doubt. Why ought this be of concern? First, while the black and Hispanic population combined is now 85 million, 5 times what it was in 1960, half of all black and Hispanic kids drop out of high school. And the average math and reading scores of the half who graduate are at 7th, 8th, or 9th grade levels. And the future is not so sanguine as it seemed 50 years ago. As I write in State of Emergency,
in 1960, 18 million black Americans, 10% of the nation, were not fully integrated into society, but they had been assimilated into a culture. They worshipped the same God, spoke the same language, had endured the same depression and war, watched the same TV shows on the same 4 channels, laughed at the same comedians, went to the same movies, ate the same foods, read the same newspapers, and went to schools where, even when segregated, we learned the same history and literature, and shared the same holidays: Christmas, New Year's, Washington's birthday, Easter, Memorial Day, July 4, Labor Day, Columbus Day. Segregation existed, but black folks were as American as apple pie, having lived in this land longer than almost every other group save the Native Americans. That cultural unity, that sense that we were one people, is gone. Today's immigrants exceed in number anything any nation has ever known. They now come from cultures and countries whose people have never before been assimilated by any first world country. Not only is the melting pot broken, it is rejected by our elites. Minorities are urged to hold on to their own language, customs, traditions. Identity politics is in. And the largest cohort, Mexicans, comes from a country with a historic grievance and a claim on the territory they are entering. Moreover, since the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s, we have been fighting one another over issues of race and ethnicity, history, heroes, and holidays, morality, and religion, right and wrong.
All over the Western world, multi-ethnic, multicultural countries are coming apart over language, ethnicity, history. The Soviet Union broke into 15 nations, Yugoslavia into half a dozen. Czechs and Slovaks divorced. Scots want separation from England. Catalans and Basques seek independence. Corsicans and Bretons want out of France. Northern Italians want to secede. Only immigrants who prefer Ottawa prevent Quebecois from breaking free of Canada. As we see from the election battles in Peru, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Mexico, race and ethnicity are not receding as issues, but rising. In South Central Los Angeles, black and Hispanic gangs are at war over race and turf.
Addressing the Knights of Columbus in 1915, Theodore Roosevelt warned, "The one absolutely certain way of bringing this nation to ruin, of preventing all possibility of its continuing to be a nation at all, would be to permit it to become a tangle of squabbling nationalities. In every way possible, Americans have said they do not want to take this risk with their country. Why then are our elites taking it?"
Well, that's an incredible piece, and of course some of that comes out of his book, State of Emergency, and his previous book called Death of the West. I've written both of them. I just wrote a book review for State of Emergency, and I'll have that posted on Conservative Justice Digest on the Internet here probably in a day or so. What comments would you folks have, or any other listeners, about that particular piece?
Well, Keith, what I'm concerned about is if you, Jack, and myself are the only three that are up in arms about this subject, or are there other Americans out there that are fearful of losing our country?
Well, I think I can show from poll after poll over the last two or three years in researching this myself is that about 70% of Americans in both parties agree on one thing, and that illegal immigration should be stopped. And I want to comment on this bill tonight. It's kind of a lengthy response that I've worked up, but if that's the case, that 70% of the people in the United States want the illegal immigration stopped, there isn't anything on this bill that is really going to do that. In fact, if anything else, if we can say anything about this bill, it's going to encourage this to happen. And, of course, this compromise took place in secret. Even members of both of the major parties, many of them are mad and disturbed that they weren't consulted about some of these new features in this bill. And this bill started coming together way back in 2006, even earlier than that, actually. Now you've got this 500-page document that's just loaded with little secret features that you and I don't even hear about. And I've sorted, and others have sorted through some of this, and I want to talk about them tonight, but you bring up a good point. Are there enough people concerned about this to do anything? What do you think?
Well, my other comment would be we have approximately 20 million illegal aliens that they're going to give citizenship to. And we know that, especially from Mexico, they have large families. So I'm being easy on this number when I say times five of their relatives will also be admitted in. We're up to 100 million now. And my point is how, after the day that they allow these folks to become citizens, how has that stopped future Mexicans from crossing the border?
It's not going to, and if you read the details of this legislation, which I'll comment in just a moment, there's nothing in. If it took us all these years to build that 18-mile fence in Southern California, how long is it going to take to build one that's hundreds of miles? If it's ever built, it's not going to happen. And because quote-unquote amnesty is granted to these folks, and there are many categories, including those for criminals, if they've only committed one crime in the United States, they can be admitted under this bill. I'll get to that in a moment. But you're going to see a demographic shift like we've never seen in the history of the nation. This is going to be in just several years more people than have ever immigrated legally to the United States the 17th century. So can we assimilate all those people? Absolutely not, even if they wanted to. But secondly, you're bringing in a substantial number of people who have no interest in becoming Americans. And I hope you have a chance to look every now and then, or regularly, at immigrationcounters.com. And it uses all the government sources. It uses the Heritage Foundation, the Center for immigration studies. These are all well-known, respected research institutes and facilities. And then they deliver the information on that site. And you've had a chance to look at this thing. I'll look at it tonight. We're up to 20,122,212 illegal immigrants in the country. And that's changed since I had it up on the site tonight. And if you're looking at money wired to Mexico, $31,218,364,676, well, I can't even say it because it changes as I speak, the money going not to the United States, but going back to Mexico. And folks know that this is the second largest source of income for the Mexican government, second only to their own oil industry. So if you look at immigrationcounters.com, you wouldn't believe it. The anchor babies, we now have 1,999,972 of those, and each one of them on average costs us over a period of time about $300,000 in terms of services. And then, of course, once they're born, they're a citizen of the United States, and that means that they can keep the mother here, bring a father, another relative. So the point is, it's not the people or the kind of people. We've got 40,000 Irish illegal immigrants here, too. But the point is, do they want to assimilate into the United States, and can we take this many people? I don't think we can. Maybe the best thing we could do is just stop immigration. That's what some folks are saying. Let's just stop it for a while. And I'm surprised at the people that I talk to that don't realize there have been decades and decades when we've never had one immigrant come to the United States.
I think we should take a look at years ahead of us, because they keep on talking about the fact that we're paying these people less money than what we pay our Americans, and therefore our grandchildren are going to hear the fact that these people were enslaved and they should be paid back for the lost money that they didn't get. It's the same. I mean, I hate to sound racist, but it's the same thing we're going through with the African Americans as well as the American Indians. And you know, we haven't even touched what it's going to cost the United States.
And of course, the claim to these that came here illegal is there's no credibility to that compared to our own citizens, the Native Americans and African Americans in the United States. And what's happening to the African Americans and the working class European people from European ancestry, the middle class is being eliminated. You know, you could graduate from high school or have a 10th grade education, get a job in a factory here or a meat processing plant or someplace, support your children, raise your children, send them to college. Those jobs are gone. The only way you're going to get that job is if you can move to China or some other place. And go ahead.
I'm sorry, and to support what Jack said, yes, we are going to pay out a lot more. I don't know how they think that this is going to solve the welfare situation, because we're going to pay out more in food stamps and welfare, ADC, to dependent children. And we're also then, I don't understand how they think that the Social Security issue is going to be solved, because now we've gotten more people that have not earned their way, and now they're going to be collecting off of, the illegals will be collecting off of the Social Security system.
I'm going to point out something here that you folks need to look at, or I could send you the document if you're interested. But John Hawkins with Right-Wing News, it sounds real right-wing, but it isn't. Normally, 30 years ago, that would have been the normal news politically. He lists 22 problems with the Senate immigration bill, and I'd like to hear you folks comment, or any other callers, comment on each of these items if you would like. And number one, he says this new, there's 22 problems with this bill. Number one, the Senate bill would make it impossible to deport most illegal aliens for years. Can you believe that what's going to happen with this bill? They're all going to get free legal service to have hearings that will stretch out over years, even if we identify them as someone that's illegal to go back. Can you believe that?
Keith, it's already happening.
Yeah, I know it is, but now all of them are going to be in that category. You're talking maybe 20 million people, so it's not a matter of finding anybody. Of course, there are many other ways for them not to go back, so that's not even an issue. Number two, consultations between the United States and the Mexican authorities at the federal, state, and local levels are required in the law before a fence can be built. So all this talk about a fence, It's only going to happen if you've got all these cooperating government agencies or entities cooperating and coming up with an agreement with each other. Isn't that amazing? But
yeah.
you would hear the news, and you would think, okay, at least we're going to get a fence. And that'll stop. And fences do work. I mean, it's what...
Let's get down to brass tacks, and let's talk about why the Republicans and the Democrats are going to allow this. Let's face it. They do not want a fence. There never will be a fence. And the other thing is that even though I, as you know, Keith, I'm a strong supporter of President Bush, this is one issue where I disagree with him on, and we do know the bottom line is that he would like to push through the North American Union.
Oh, certainly.
And that's the bottom line, is he wants that so bad. I don't understand why he wants it. He's leaving in 2008. But unless he wants to name, you know, be the author of it and get credit for it, if he thinks that's going to be credit, what are your thoughts on that?
He sees the world as markets, and cheap labor, you know, is good for the entrepreneurs, and you know, it's not people, it's markets that he's talking about, and we're talking about a labor source. So the three countries tied together will be a source of cheap labor.
So then what there will happen is then Canadians and Mexicans will be allowed to freely walk across, and we will be able to walk across the border without any visas.
Well, exactly. They want a common ID card that, you know, that you'll just be a sort of a citizen of the North American group. Here's another one of the gimmicks with this thing. The talk about the National Guard sent to the border for the troops. You know, Bush was going to send... on the House Immigration Reform Caucus, they were going to send 36,000 guardsmen to the border. Remember that story that President Bush talked about?
Mm-hmm.
And Chertoff and Homeland Security, they sent 6,000.
Sure.
When they got there, they included in the regulations that they could arrest nobody. They could stop no one. So what they did is free up 500 Border Patrol officers who were doing desk jobs and let those 500 go out. So the net gain in terms of enforcement personnel on the border was 500, not 36,000. But it sounded good, didn't it?
Yeah.
Number four, police can't arrest illegals under this bill. Remember how some cops can get trained now under Section 287 of the federal law?
Mm-hmm.
Remember our sheriff down in Butler County was going to get that? We have agencies all over the United States now, not a lot. They've gone to the 287 training, and they can arrest illegal immigrants in the United States. This bill forbids it. Police cannot arrest illegals just for being illegal. Can you believe that?
Mm.
One of the sources of, you know, improvement was that we can now get local law enforcement who run into these characters all the time. Number five, the Senate bill puts amnesty ahead of security. And there are so many ways for these folks to get in. and then you can't share any information. Can you believe that? Once you fill out all these documents about getting amnesty, and getting your work permits and these visas, the blue cards and the green cards and all that business, if you were Osama bin Laden, in fact, that's used in the example here in National Review, if you're Osama bin Laden, they can't pass that on to the CIA or the FBI. Can you believe? I mean, all that information about illegal and being a criminal can't be passed on to any other agency. And there's so many things in here in terms of the tier system and the categories for illegals to come in. And you know, they're supposed to pay back taxes, you know, that they didn't pay. Guess what? They can skip a percentage of them. Are you allowed to do that? Just try it, right?
Yeah.
But
they're again, okay, they're coming across illegally. In other words, they're committing a crime, and we're forgiving them for that. So anything else they do in the future that's criminal activity, we can just forgive them for those things too.
Exactly. It's almost like a permanent get-out-of-jail card.
Get-out-of-jail card.
Yeah. And we only have about a third of a million, a little more than a third of a million illegal immigrants in our prisons and jail system, serving sentences in the United States right now. So
we're paying for that.
We're paying for that. Of course we are. And then we let them out and, you know, go home when their sentence is done.
Mm-hmm.
And they're back next day for two weeks. And many of these gangs, we're getting some of the worst gang Jack and others probably know a lot about that, but we're getting some of the worst gang members that Latin America even has into the United States, and now they're in the interior of the U.S.
Well, I think that you understand my take on it. I'm not in favor of just stopping them coming across the border, nor am I in favor of them making them citizens. I'm in favor of shipping all illegals back, no matter what country they came from.
Of course, the comment is, well, you could never do that. How are you going to send 12, 15, 18 million people back? But my comment about that is, let's do it humanely and let's try.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen what France has been doing long before the election of Sarkozy here several weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Pay families to go back.
Yeah.
The ones who want to live in French culture, the legal ones and the illegals, they pay them. They've been paying them $5,000. They've sent 7,000 families back to the Mid and Africa already, and they've just raised the fee to the stipend to $8,000, and they're going to send some more back. So if France can do it, a nation that's not known for major achievements in things relative to security, right?
Mm-hmm. My question there is, how is France going to prevent them from coming back to France?
I think they're going to protect the border.
They're going to protect the border. How are they going to do that?
They're going to do that by fencing and patrolling it. And I think, in general, European borders do, Jack can comment on that, he's been over there, but they do a better job of protecting their border than we do.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. A lot of these others get, they fly in and that type of thing. But, here's number nine. Why should criminals be allowed, in the Hawkins Act, be allowed to become citizens? And Senators Cornyn of Texas and Kyle of Arizona had originally proposed an amendment to make criminals ineligible for either amnesty or U.S. citizenship under the proposed law. That had been overwhelmingly rejected by the Democrats when they asked Cornyn and Kyle to negotiate a compromise with Kennedy. The two sides agreed, the Republicans reluctantly, that a criminal would now be eligible for amnesty and citizenship if they had committed only one felony or three misdemeanors. That he could commit, they could become a citizen of the United States. Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. So you can have one rape, right?
Yeah.
One rape, one robbery. Unbelievable. The small, tardy fine paid by illegals to become legal, they're going to have them pay $2,000, but guess what? That can be forgiven under certain circumstances. Unbelievable.
Well, I don't know what, if you have some advice for us for a solution. My solution would be that we're not going to change President Bush's mind. So before the bill gets to his desk, I think we really need to put the pressure on all those Republicans, McCain and whomever else, list the names of those Republicans that are voting in favor of this, McCain's a big one, and let them know that we will not be supporting them in the 2008 election if this bill goes through and they are the author of it or supporter.
Yeah.
My thinking is that we should contact those Congress senators and let them know that we're certainly not, we have till June to get the, send out to our friends and relatives to contact them.
From what I hear and what I read, that they're getting responses now in their offices like they've never gotten before.
I will say one thing, Keith, that information came out that they were going to vote on this issue by May 31st. And as you see, they did not do that. They went on vacation. The only thing that I can think was that they just had a ton of emails coming to their offices, and they thought maybe they better go back to their home state and get some more information.
Yeah. Listen to this item number 12 on this this list. We're going to have the guest worker program, which is supposedly going to stop the people coming to the United States and only here temporarily, right? Mm-hmm. Then they have to go back after working like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
The guest workers will now be eligible for citizenship. So now we can bring in all these people, both illegally, legally under visas, and then the guest worker program, and then they're eligible for citizenship too.
Hmm.
Isn't it incredible? And guess what? Other pieces of legislation have been worked into this bill. For example, the Davis-Bacon union wage requirements, you're going to have to pay these people union wages for guest workers.
Huh.
Does the union have to take a green card holder? I know they. Most unions have it. You have to be a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, Jack, you're going to have a color code, color chart to understand this bill, because we got green cards, we got blue cards. It's going to be tough to keep up with all the different cards. Blue card illegals, some of America's most privileged workers, they're going to be able to come in the United States for like 150 work days, and they can work in agriculture over the last 2 years. They'll receive a blue card. They can live and work permanently in the United States. These people come here for almost for nothing, to clear a field of tomatoes or 10 fields of tomatoes, and now they're going to be eligible for citizenship, or at least to stay here forever. And, of course, citizenship will be next.
The funny thing about this is all those people are not listening to the constituents at all. They aren't paying any attention at all. I mean, like you said, 70%, and I really think it's higher now, people are against this whole thing.
I saw a poll here that it said it was more like 90% of Americans were against it, 10% in favor.
Yeah. Are you sitting down for this one?
Yep.
Point 15. If you're a out-of-state college student, you have to pay out-of-state tuition, correct?
Right.
Not if you're an illegal. That's part of the bill. If you're here in the United States under any of these guest worker type programs, you don't have to pay any out-of-state tuition. Although you're out of country, you don't have to pay out-of-state tuition.
Well, let me ask you, when an officer picks an illegal that has become a citizen, when they have the blue card, is that going to give them the right to get out of jail free card?
I don't know the answer to that, but first of all, you got to get them in jail first.
Yeah.
The crime clearance rate isn't that high to start with. Jack knows that we get about 1 out of 4, of all crime, average about 24% of crimes are cleared by arrest. So we're missing a lot of people. We know something like burglars, commit about 200 burglaries and they get caught once or twice.
Uh-huh.
200. And plus you got others here that hide in a community that the cops aren't even, familiar with, so they're even more difficult to find. Now, one of the things we wanted to do to help people assimilate, of course, is what? Learn the English language, which has always been a requirement.
Yep.
Listen to this. The Senate approved Senator Imhoff's amendment to, he's from Oklahoma, he's really fought this. He's a great guy. Amendment to make English the national language and require those seeking citizenship to demonstrate English proficiency and an understanding of U.S. history. However, a far weaker amendment by Senator Salazar gutted the Imhoff Amendment, leaving it in doubt and also giving immigrants the right to demand the federal government communicate with them in the language they choose. Is it a joker or what?
Do you realize how we're going to have to increase interpreters for the justice system?
Yeah, I know. That's an issue already. People getting promoted in U.S. government and state agencies because they speak Spanish.
And, so basically, what we're talking about here is you've said that the Asian population is increased 25%, I believe. If they want us to speak to the Asian population in Chinese, then that'll be possible too.
Yeah, that would be possible. Exactly. They can demand it, as a matter of fact, as part of this bill. Now, the other thing that virtually every other nation in the world does is they rank order their selection of immigrants based on skills and education and need. Uh-uh, not ours. That's going to be a small part. Developed nations have reformed their immigration policies to prioritize high-skilled immigration over large-scale, low-skilled, and extended family chain migration, which we have not stopped with this. Chain migration, you get one, you get two, you get three, you get 16, over a period of time. And if you bring 16, you're going to have hearings that stretch out over 7 or 8 years. The shortest hearing now I saw in an article about 2 weeks ago is 9 months now. Mm-hmm. That's your time in many of these places to even get a hearing. And then you can ask for a stay. You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're here forever. So then I won't go on. But tax amnesty, that just goes on and on and on. Social Security for illegals, yes. Unfortunately, the Senate has now voted to give undocumented workers credit for the money that they contributed to Social Security while they were here illegally. I wonder which of the Social Security names and numbers they'll do that under. Some have four or five different Social Security cards. You know, I saw that on the border two summers ago. If you come across, you know, they say, well, they can't afford this $2,000. They pay these coyotes $2,000. And in 2 hours, they're in Tucson with five different sets of ID. I've got some in my wallet if you ever need to see some. But anyway, that's going to happen too. They'll get credit for for Social Security. Isn't that something?
One thing I want to, you might think that this is dumb, but one thing I want to remind you of is the Miss America participated in the Miss Universe pageant about a week ago in Mexico City and was booed by those in attendance. And let's recall when, let's just basically say that the illegals marched on Washington, how many Mexican flags were up and very few American flags.
Well, that's happened at sporting events, too, I'm told, where, you know, the American athletes are booed, that type of thing. It looks like I'm not going to get to Pat Buchanan's book. In fact, I think I'm going to roll that over to next week. But his last chapter is just great. It's called Last Chance, and it has eight things that we should be doing to get this done. And I'll just comment on them, and then maybe I'll take another section when we begin. Bring Jim Fernison back from the Minutemen, and because he's really well schooled on this, and I think we'll probably have another staff member from another state come on too. But Buchanan says, first of all, let's have a timeout on all immigration. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why do we need to make a decision right now?
Yeah. Let's just stop for a moment and try to catch two, no amnesty whatsoever.
Correct.
And he has a good point. The border fence, build it. I wrote an article about that you can get on Conservative Justice. Could we build a fence on the border? And I think I started out with something like, how many ways can we say yes? we need a border fence for sure. And fences work. They've worked all over. Anchor babies, stop it. Under the 14th Amendment, citizenship is granted to all persons born or naturalized in the U.S. We can change that. That can be changed.
Mm-hmm.
It should be. Because that's a ploy. Chain migration, when one gets here, stop the family member from coming.
Mm-hmm.
Team of family member. Six, we still allow dual citizenship. How many nations of the world do that?
Meaning?
In other words, I can be a citizen of two different countries.
Uh-huh.
I say, in other words, if some people had to give up their citizenship to the original country, they wouldn't take ours.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only taking ours because they can get all the, well, it's not the only reason, but many of them are taking it because they can get all of our benefits. Yeah. So, and the dual citizenship idea. And he talks, he's got a whole list of people here, terrorists and all sorts of things, that had dual citizenship. They were citizens of another country and citizens of the U.S., if you can believe that. And if you haven't read Michelle Malkin's book, Invasion, I have the graduate students read it in a class. It's an outstanding book, very readable. Remove the magnets. That's item seven for Buchanan. All the things that are drawing them here, stop it. In other words, make these people not be able to live here illegally in an apartment. Stop the employers from employing them.
Uh-huh.
You know, the government's doing maybe a little more than token enforcement on that now. But where have they been, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Unbelievable. The last thing is remigration. Figure out some way to send some of these folks back.
Mm-hmm.
And he has some creative ways of doing that, and certainly France has figured out a way. You know, if it costs money in the long run, it's an investment in our future that pays off. And we're talking about people that don't want to assimilate. They're only here to reap the benefits and return essentially nothing to the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an outstanding book, and he ends this by saying, but do our leaders have the vision and the will to do it? Rick, I think you would like this comment. Let's see what you think.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
I take that. It's certainly apropos of our Congress, isn't it?
Yeah.
What we got here is failure to communicate.
You, Rick, or was that my dad?
That was me.
Okay. You're better than that. I should have got your voice. They ever remake that movie, you're available, right?
Yeah.
Great. Folks, we're about out of time, so I really appreciate you coming on tonight, and I probably had more than I could deal with, and certainly, you know, an hour's time, but I enjoyed it. It's the issue of our time. I think we agree on that, I think.
Well, it's good hearing from you. It's good hearing from you, Jack.
Hey, you working yet?
Yeah, I'll talk to you about that later.
Right.
Okay, I'll look forward to it.
Okay.
All right, folks, good night. Audrey's given us the signal that it's time to take off, so we'll be in touch, and we'll be seeing you.
Take care.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Again, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. He's smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long.